I want to give a little concluding piece on becoming missionary disciples. I've got another somewhat long quote. I'm just going to read the beginning of it. This is from Pope Francis again. I came across this quote when I read through this very long document called Evangelii Gaudium. It's a very good document. And I remember running across this quotation, and I just rejoiced. My heart leapt. So I want to read the beginning. Every Christian is a missionary to the extent that he or she has encountered the love of God in Christ Jesus. We no longer say that we are disciples and missionaries, but rather that we are always missionary disciples. Of course, all of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deeper love, a clearer witness to the gospel, but this does not mean that we should postpone the evangelizing mission. Each of us should find ways to communicate Jesus wherever we are. You know, Jesus sent out the 12 and the 72 when they really didn't know very much. And they didn't always do so great. They came back saying, we kind of got our backsides whipped. He sent them out and said, heal the sick and cast out demons. I've never sent anybody out to do that myself. I'm not quite so bold. But he sent them out on mission before they were fully trained. And that was part of their training. Another quick quote here. This is from George Weigel. Second one. He says, for the task of the church in the 21st century, what we need is, and this is the quote, a mission-centered community of disciples with a clear sense of identity and purpose. A mission-centered community of disciples. I think this phrase captures for me what Pope Francis is calling for, but also what we really need now. We need a mission-centered community of disciples. So I think this is so crucial for what lies before us. So my final point is, I think, an easy sell, and that is discipleship to Jesus Christ is always missionary from first to last. When we form disciples, we're not just training people in lives of personal holiness. We're not just helping people learn how to make good use of the means of grace. We're not just helping people find their way to eternal life. We're doing all those things, I hope, but we're also training them for mission and sending them out. That's a crucial piece of what Jesus did with his disciples and what we're called to do as well. The point I'd like to make is it's a mindset that I don't think has characterized the Catholic Church over, you know, the last period of time. It's not the mindset. When they do these studies of Catholic youth and young adults, which have been done fairly extensively over the last 10 or 15 years, I'm sorry to say Catholics end up coming in like the bottom of how well they do in this area. We're just not good at this. We're not minded this way in general. This is not right now part of Catholic culture to be on mission, to see ourselves on mission. That's what people go away to do. That's what priests and religious do. But that won't do anymore. And this is what Pope Francis is calling for, what the church is calling for. It's no longer going to work the old style, as it were. We need all hands on deck. Everybody needs to be enlisted in the mission. I just have to read this little quote here. Someone sent this to me when they knew that I was giving this presentation. It's a quote that comes from The Soul of the Apostolate, a famous book, many of you would know it. And it's a very short little dialogue that took place in the time of Pius X. Pius X was Pope in the early part of the 20th century. And this is how it goes. With his deep understanding of the needs of the church, Pius X often saw things with the most remarkable clarity. An interesting conversation of the Holy Pontiff with a group of cardinals was reported in the French clerical publication L'Ami du Clerge. The Pope asked them, what is the thing we most need today to save society? Build Catholic schools, said one. No. More churches, said another. Still no. Speed up the recruiting of priests, said a third. No, no, said the Pope. The most necessary thing of all at this time is for every parish to possess a group of lay people who will be at the same time virtuous, enlightened, resolute, and truly apostolic. Basically saying, if this happens, all the rest of them will happen as well. I read this and I said, there's a wise man. He knew even back then that the key is calling the faithful to holiness, to discipleship for the sake of mission, and much else good will happen that we seek for the church. So this is my final point, very simple one, that discipleship must be from first to last missionary. It doesn't require great training. All it requires is knowing Christ in some kind of encounter and being willing to step out. To end this time, I want to give something a little bit more concrete, so I've pointed to a couple of things to highlight. First of all, and this has already been highlighted today, I think the very first thing people can do, they can do it right away, is that they can give spoken testimony to what God has done in their lives. And they can be taught how to do that, very simply. This has always been part of our own formation. You know, we help people meet the Lord, but when they do, then we say, okay, we'd like to get you up next week at the meeting and speak to some of these new people about what you've experienced. And they go, oh, I can't do that. And you go, yeah, actually, you could. Let's help you. We'll practice a little bit, get a little time to look over this. You can speak about what God has done. And I think one of the key things we can do with people is help them give testimony. And for many years, I gave sessions of what's called the Life and Spirit Seminar. And, you know, I became the learned teacher, and I'd get up and give the talk and feel pretty good about myself. You know, I'm the learned guy. And then there'd be this young guy or girl, completely green, not very eloquent, kind of nervous, and they'd get up and speak for 5 to 10 minutes about what God did. And then in the discussion groups afterward, you go, so how was the session? They all talked about the testimonies, not my talk. I was always bothered by that. It's like, come on. Didn't you hear what I had to say, all the good things? What moved them almost time and again was these simple testimonies of people who met the Lord. That's where they live. So this is the first thing that I think we can train people to do. These are obvious. Second one is getting people involved in service, especially to the needy. Most important for young people today, I think, especially. They can't just talk, they have to act. It's really good to get out of their own comfort zone, to get involved in the service to others. This might have a spoken side, but it's mostly a service side. I think these two in combination are a very potent way of training young people in discipleship. Those are the two that I want, but I want to add a third, and this is just my own little thing to throw in at the end. And that is, I think one of the things we can do is we can train people and help people learn how to pray for other people in the field. What do I mean by that? As we are prayed for by others, people pray for us, they bless us, they pray God's blessing upon us, we can learn to pray for others. One of the tasks that we sometimes set in our summer sessions is we'll go out to a seaside town, often at Lake Michigan. We'll send the students out two by two, one guy, one girl. They're not in white shirts and ties. We're not Mormons. But we'll send them out and just say, look, why don't you just try to meet people in the town and simply say, is there something I could pray for? We're going out. They say, we're part of this little thing and we'd like to pray for you. Would you like prayer? We are amazed how many people want prayer. A few people, no, thanks. You go, fine. So many people want prayer. And it often opens up a chance to then speak, give testimony, find out how they're doing, a blessing upon them. I think learning how to pray for people is a way to bring Jesus to them in a way that's not quite as threatening. They don't have to make a big response. You're blessing them. This is just my own little addition. I think this is something we can do to help people on the early stages get into the mission and see what it's like to testify to Jesus and experience the joy as the disciples did when they came back and reported all the things that had been done when they were out on mission. Okay, that's what I have to say. Thanks a lot. Praise God.
All right, we just have a little bit more before we take a break, but we've had three heavy hitters here so far today, and we thought it would be really interesting to take all three of these people, Deacon Ralph Poyo, Dr. Dan Keating, and Sister Ann Shields, and set them up here almost like the dunk tank, only it's going to be your questions. If there's anything burning in your heart right now, burning in your mind about how do we make this happen in the parish, or whatever the question might be, or just a comment, and you'd like this panel to sort of shoot out an answer to you, this is the time. So we just wanted to make sure we got them all together for you. And we've got roving mics out there for anybody who has already stored up something. All right. We do have a hand right back there in the corner.
Hi, we've been talking about discipleship, and at our table in particular, we were talking about the Matthew passage and about baptism and what our role as parents are to form disciples out of our children. I think I'm around your age group, so there was that whole lacking of that age group that really didn't get that, and so now we want that age group back into the church, but we may have to start 20 years ahead and get those people to come up. So if there's something you can tell the parents now who do have young children or even teenagers, how to try to have their children become disciples and have the parents help in that base.
Hi. I have 5 girls. Just want to say that. I think some of the challenges is that faith, authentic faith, which is not just knowledge of God, but then trusting in the God we have knowledge of with our lives, is much more caught than it is taught, particularly in the family. As parents live the lives of disciples and you do the disciplines that Dr. Dan was talking about, it. Your kids wake up and they come and they see you, and it's especially when in the young, the wee years, when they're first coming up and they just want that daddy attention, right? Daddy, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm reading love letters. From who? Jesus. Do you want to hear one? Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's in the midst of the lived experience. Every time they wake up, why is dad or mom always sitting in that chair? Daddy, what are you doing? Talking. To who? You're by yourself. Jesus. What are you talking about? You. You know, and so the kids grow up and they begin to witness the model. I'm going to unpack this a little bit later on, but two critical pieces of this discipleship that he's describing with is what is required for proper disposition. For example, the first one is repentance. The only way you can teach a child repentance is to give them the model of a repentant parent. You can't just say, be repentant, you little scum sucker. You know, you have to be able to live that model out. And the only way they see that is, again, they capture that. So as you start living the role of that, you know, particularly when they're really young, because when they're really young, they're asking all the questions. I had my second daughter, Rachel, just captain, you know, they ask that why question ad nauseum. They had to go through this period. Why? Why? Well, those are the times that I really look forward to because I've got answers. And his name is Jesus, and you can be with him now, and let me tell you how that works. How? Right? Because then you begin to start doing all those things. So again, it's as a parent is living the life of a disciple, and they're going through the disciplines, and they're living their lives actively in that way, and then all of a sudden when trauma hits, that's where they really learn to see what we trust in. Do they trust? Does dad lost his job? Is he drinking more? Is he sleeping more? Is he more angry? Or does he seem peaceful? Dad, why are you so calm? Because Jesus has us. Again, faith is much more caught than it is taught.
Excellent. Thank you. Do we have a roving mic in that room?
There we go, right there.
Okay, we got
right
a hand.
I think one of the best ways to evangelize is to get the lackluster Catholic sitting in church to believe that they are disciples. And if we could do that, we could have them help us with this evangelization. Is there an easy way to do that?
Oh. So.
I think Sister Anne's supposed to answer that question.
Women, you know what you do with men who are your brothers. Give them a hard time. That'll come later. I could say a number of things, but I think the most important thing is pray for the people in your parish. I really mean pray. A Divine Mercy chaplet every day, offering Mass once a week for the people in your parish, fasting from one meal or from some food, just saying to the Lord, please, Lord, come with your grace and touch the people in my parish. I honestly think there are other things that one can do and probably should do, but I think that's the key piece, because what it does is it tills the soil of people's hearts. And at least the testimonies I've received, people would say, I don't know what happened to me, but I was just sitting there one day in the church and something Father said, it was just like a thunderbolt. I never heard it before. That's the fruit of prayer. That's the fruit of intercession. So I would say that's at least one thing that all of us can do and need to do for our parish, rather than complaining about what doesn't work and who doesn't work, but praying for the people.
I would add another thing that I learned in youth ministry, and that is, you know, when you start working with a room full of teens, it's hard to keep them under control. And so I realized that there were these couple of guys, this one particular guy who kept being a royal pain, and he was just difficult. And I made it my point to befriend him. I made it my point to say, John, can I meet with you after the meeting? And he thought he was in trouble because he was acting up all night. I said, this is before Safe Child Environment rules. This is back, I'm an old youth minister. Okay, so I said, let's get together for a Coke. Let's go to Burger King, grab a Coke. And it totally took him off guard because he thought he was just going to get in trouble because he was misbehaving. But I've learned that when you draw close to those individuals and you die the death of friendship, the death of time that we don't want to sacrifice. It's a training technique I use with my leaders. Be seen, be known, be understood. First they see you. Oh, he's the youth minister. Then they get to know you because you do relational ministry that enables you to draw close to them. And then they understand why Jesus is an important part of your life. We're just trying to do number three right off the bat. And of course, you know, Satan's got our number. They don't care. You don't, anything you say doesn't mean anything to them. Why? Because you and I both live out one major paradigm. And that is that we only pay attention to people who we trust. Isn't that true? So just because you hold an office in the church no longer gives you the credibility. We got to go do the work of relational ministry that earns us the ability to earn the right to be heard.
Just a quick thing to add to the, how do you make lackluster parishioners into disciples? There's no way through that without encounter with the Lord. And so I think that one of the tasks is, how do you work with people to help them toward that encounter? You can't just thrust it on them. But a lot of this relational work is actually working with people to help them get to a place where they're willing and ready to come into an encounter with the Lord. And then on the far side of that comes the fruit. There's no way to that position. You can't get people excited about the Lord unless they've met the Lord in some way. But one of the tasks is, how do you get them there? And that's, I think, one of the challenges our parishes face.
We're going to unpack some of that practically in the next session.
Excellent. We have time for one more quick
question. I got one here, Craig.
Okay.
This question comes a little bit from Dan's talk, but just, Dan, you were talking about how when you started at the University of Michigan, or when you were taking visits up there, that small group of men that you were able to meet with was so important for you. And so can you talk a little bit about how our path of discipleship doesn't just benefit from community, but actually has the necessity of community? And also how, using Jesus as a prime example, that he never sent an apostle off on his own, but always sent them two by two. And so could you just unpack that a little bit?
Jim, you've done a very good job unpacking that yourself right there. I know, I mean that. That's excellent, at least that the question itself is already posed and I think partly answered. I do think the Lord wants to disciple us in small communities. We're not meant to disciple ourselves. We talk about a kind of a prideful way. Jesus wants me to be a disciple. I'll do it. You go, no, you won't. You can't disciple yourself. It needs to be discipleship to Jesus Christ, but it needs to come through that contact with other people. That's where we learn mercy. That's where we learn fortitude. That's where we learn how to pray. Most of what I know in pastoral ministry comes from being in these small groups and watching them unfold and learning a ton myself, but from others. So I do think a crucial piece, it's not just a help, but it's a crucial part. It's an essential part of what the church is and what discipleship then needs to be.
All right, we've got to keep on moving, but let's give these guys, these rock stars, a round of applause. Thank you so much for your work and your mission. We're going to be hearing more. So